Great. So we're starting a series on prayer in church, and we're doing it for a few months, and we've entitled it Teach Us to Pray. Teach Us to Pray, and it comes from a passage in Luke 11 where Jesus' disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not because they didn't know the physical mechanics of how to pray. They were all Jews and brought up with the Jewish custom of daily prayers, and so they knew some words to say in prayer. They knew how to physically pray. But there was something different about the way Jesus prayed. There was something different in the quality or quantity of his prayers, which was attractive, which they wanted for themselves. And so they came to him with this question, Lord, teach us to pray. And so that's what we're thinking about over these months, is what it means to pray for all of our lives. Because prayer isn't a tick box. It's not a course which we complete and get a certificate in prayer in. It's a journey. It's a journey which we're all on. And we will always be on for all our life. There is always something we can be learning about in prayer. All of us, and my heart and our heart is, as we think about prayer as a church over these months, that all of us will grow in prayer. And if we do that, that'll make a massive difference on our personal lives, but also on our lives as a church. It's such a key foundation of what it means to be a disciple, is to pray. And so as we focus on this, our heart is actually, we all really dedicate to committing to trying to learn what it means to pray, trying to seek God and his heart in what we need to grow in terms of prayer. And we should be free to experiment in what that is, free to question, free to fail, because actually we're all on a journey. We want to encourage each other in what it means to pray. And so I'd really long for us all to just really think about, okay, well, God, what do you want me to do over these coming months in terms of my prayer life? As each week we come as a church and think about it together in my week, God, teach me to pray. And so actually we may all grow and see God's goodness come from that. But into our passage for today, this is in beginning of Matthew's Gospel in a section called the Sermon on the Mount, which is a section of Jesus' teaching at the beginning of Matthew where he is challenging his audience on some of the fundamentals of their faith. He keeps setting the bar higher and higher for them to achieve their own salvation. And he comes to this point where he starts to talk about prayer. And we kind of got to tackle the first elephant in the room. Jesus starts this by saying, and when you pray. And when you pray. There is already an expectation Jesus has upon us that we pray. That to know and love God, to be a follower of Jesus, means that we pray. It's not an extra bolt-on we can add on if we like, if we're a prayer, we like prayer ourselves. Actually, all of us are expected to pray. It's part of what it means to be a disciple, is that we are prayerful. And so when Jesus says, when you pray, he's challenging that straight away. There's an expectation of us to pray. But he goes on to challenging this outward life of prayer and inward life of prayer. But he's saying, prayer isn't just about what you say whenever people see you. It's not about what happens on a Sunday. Prayer is what happens in that secret place between us and God. When we pray. For some of us, if we think back in our minds, it might be a while for us to reach the last time we prayed. But actually, Jesus is calling us into a deeper relationship with him where he's longing us to pray more. And it's not just about when we pray, but when did we last pray for the world? When did we last pray for our families? When did we last pray for ourselves? When did we last pray for our enemies? We're expected to pray for these things as a disciple. And so the question is, when you pray, there is already this bar that Jesus is setting us. Actually, part of what it means to be a disciple is that we are prayerful. That we're a prayerful people. That we don't just come to him when it's a crisis, when things are going wrong, and we ask God a quick question. No, actually, we're expected to have a life of prayer, praying for all things. So when we pray. But a large chunk of this passage, Jesus talks about our words in prayer, that our words in prayer are important. But the fact is, our words in prayer are important because they're not important. He talks in and picks out these hypocrites that babble away and say these lovely long prayers, and he's like, that's not the point. That's not the point of prayer. You don't need to try and influence me and debate God to try and win over his agreement and his approval. We're in quite a well-educated society in the UK, so we're quite good at arguing and debating. Maybe not Theresa May, but we're quite good at it generally. Never mind. often we present information and we try to get our point of view across and win people over to our side. We're quite good at it in our society, and we even do it in our conversation with each other. We try and justify our point of view. We don't really haggle anymore. People in different countries in this time in the Bible, they would haggle for their food. They'd try to get the best price for the things they're buying. We don't do that, but we transferred it over to our conversations instead. Hannah, my wife, is very good at haggling. She spent 6 months in India on mission, and a few years ago, we were in Tunisia on holiday. And we ended up in this old part of town where there's loads of stalls. And we're just looking for things to buy. It was an amazing place. It's like what you'd expect from a like built-up town in northern Africa. There's like lovely stone walls, and like every little stall was crammed into the smallest part possible, and people shouting, trying to grab all the attention of the tourists. And Hannah found a scarf that she liked. Hannah always buys a scarf when she's on holiday. So she found a scarf that she liked and immediately started haggling away with the seller, trying to get him down from his tourist price to the real price. And she was doing great and great, and she's really good at this. In fact, when she was in India, she'd often just walk away from the seller and have them run after her to try and get them to sell the things. I'm not good at haggling, but she's great at it. But the thing is, we often transfer this idea of haggling and these conversations where we try and debate with people and win people over onto our relationship with God. We try and justify the things we're requesting from God. Our prayer life may be something like, God, I've been really good lately. I've been praying every day. I've done my bit of devotion in my Bible. I've been doing really well. In fact, God, you may remember that last week at church, I even helped clear up hospitality, and I wasn't on the rota. So if you'd be so kind as to help me, I've got this presentation at work, and I'm not sure my boss is going to be for it. If you'd help me, that'd be great. Thank you. Amen. I exaggerate. But often our prayer life can be that. We can try and justify our requests. We wait till we're in a good place with God before we ask of things. Or sometimes we don't even ask at all because we feel like we're not justified. We're not in the right place with God to be able to even ask. But that's not what it's about. We're not meant to try and haggle with God. We just come humbly and honestly to him to seek his grace and call upon our lives. And this is what Jesus is challenging. He's challenging against the hypocrites who babble away to a more honest, faithful way of prayer. And this is where we see his teaching on the Lord's Prayer. We've already prayed it today. Where, if you look at it, it's completely flipped from that idea of trying to babble and haggle our way with God. And we're going to unpack it more as the weeks come, line by line, really unpacking what each one means. But just for a moment, as I read it, it just completely flips that idea of haggling on its head. And he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Starting with a praise and acclamation of who God is, how great he is, not about ourselves, but about him. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." It's not asking our requests for this world, but seeking God's requests for this world, that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Seeking God's things in prayer, not our things in prayer. Give us today our daily bread, not just give the things we need, not the things we want. Give the things we need, not the things we want. Forgive us our debts or sins as we forgive our debtors. Lord, thank you for the grace you've given on the cross. Help us. Please give it to me. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, we need your help. We can't do this on our own. It's such a humble prayer. Jesus in this prayer is challenging this idea of trying to haggle our way against God, but actually coming with humble honesty. Because actually we can never bring anything to the table when it comes to God. No matter how good we think we've been in the last week, no matter how great we feel justified in ourselves, we are not close to what it means. But God's grace is sufficient, and he enables us to ask and request things of him. Because our words in prayer matter. Actually, we need to be seeking the things God wants, not trying to justify ourselves in prayer. And one of my favorite lines on prayer is from Pete Gregg, who started 24/7 Prayer and is head of Alpha Prayer Global. And he says this, he says, "Prayer at its simplest is asking. Prayer at its deepest is a conversation. But prayer at its best is communion." Prayer at its simplest is asking. Prayer at its deepest is conversation. Prayer at its best is communion. But that means at its simplest, prayer is this ask of us to God. God, help in the situation. God, may you heal my friend. God, may you meet with me. It's this ask relationship. And that's an amazing way to pray. Don't judge me wrong, that is an incredible way to pray, but it's prayer at its simplest. Prayer at its deepest is a conversation. We are meant to give time to listen to God, what he's saying back to us. It's a really bad relationship with someone if you just speak at them and don't give them any time to talk back to you. God wants a relationship with us, so he wants this conversation in prayer. We need to be giving time in our prayer life to be able to listen to him, to be able to hear what he says back to us through scripture, through our friends, through prophecy. We need to be listening to him, what he wants to say back to us. But prayer at its best is communion. And by that he means being in the presence of God. I'm sure many of us have those friends, maybe our spouses, who you don't really need to be saying anything. It's just great to be in the room with them. Actually feel at real peace when you're just in the room with them. You can just go on a walk and not saying anything for a couple of hours, but that's amazing. That's the type of relationship in our prayer God longs for, is actually we take great joy in just being with them. That we take great joy in just being in the presence of God. That is prayer at its best. So prayer at its simplest is asking. Prayer at its deepest is communion. But prayer at its best is communion. We need to long to get into a relationship with God where actually our words really don't matter. It's just being in the presence of him. But one of the other things that Jesus talks about in this passage is not that our words matter, but our heart matters. Our heart matters in prayer. At the beginning of our passage, we see Jesus challenging the hypocrites. But then at the end of the passage, it says this in verse 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." One of the things I've learned, which has transformed my prayer life the most, is that our heart matters. Our heart matters in prayer. I matter in prayer. You may be me and have been brought up telling that you don't matter in prayer at all. It's all about God. And in some ways, that's true. We don't do anything to answer prayer. It's all God, 100% God. But when we look at Scripture, it's actually really evident that we matter in prayer. That what our hearts are like matter in prayer. Towards how Jesus, in some towns, he was unable to do many healings because of their faith. Their faith mattered when it came to answer prayer. I love this analogy. Imagine you're sat at home in your living room and you grab the TV remote and you go to turn on your TV and it doesn't work. Do you just come to the conclusion that obviously television no longer exists? The idea of television no longer exists. It no longer happens. The producers no longer make the films and programs you want to watch. The broadcasters don't broadcast it across radio frequencies through the air to your aerial, into your TV, and powered by your remote. None of that exists anymore. No, we don't think that, do we? We think that there's a problem, so we try to fix it. We check the batteries in the remotes. We check the power on the TV. We make sure the channel is we're on the right channel. If it gets really bad, you maybe call up our TV provider and go, "Is there anything wrong with your end?" We try and find the problem. We fix it. But yet, we don't do that with prayer. If it doesn't work, we assume it just doesn't work. We don't think, actually, when we look at Scripture, it is so evident that God answers prayer, that we see healings, that we see prophecies, that we see miracles. It's so evident, but yet we sometimes can assume that that doesn't happen. But actually, what's often the case is somewhere between God the Almighty and our prayer, there's a failure in the connection somewhere. There's something that is wrong in the connection, which means that prayer isn't answered. And sometimes that's down to our heart. Like I said, sometimes in Scripture it talks about how the person's faith is the reason they were healed. It's because of their faith that they were healed. We need to be aware of our own faith, and are we believing that what we're praying for will actually happen? Here in this passage, Jesus talks about our sin as a real important part in what it means to pray. Actually, we need to first forgive others of their sins, but also we need to have our sins forgiven. If we're not doing that, then that may be a real blockage in our prayer life. It may be a real blockage in us seeing prayer answered. But also, we sometimes see in Scripture that in Luke 11, Jesus talks about persistence in prayer. That actually, he says, because of your persistence, your Father will answer you. Actually, sometimes we give up early. Sometimes we give up early in prayer. We just quit. When actually, God says he will answer our prayers if we're persistent. Other times, it's just asking for the right thing at the right time. In Acts 3, there's an amazing story of Peter and John healing the lame beggar outside the gates of Beautiful on the way to the temple. They would have walked that route so many times, but for some reason on that day, they knew that God wanted to heal that beggar. Who knows why? But they knew God's will so well. They knew God, had such a deep relationship with God, that they knew that the healing channel was on for that bloke. They knew God's will. And sometimes our prayers don't get answered because we're asking for the wrong thing at the wrong time. We need to be in a relationship with God where we come to know his will for the people we meet and for our lives. We need to have that deep relationship with him so when we pray, we're knowing that this is what God is wanting. We're not just fishing and hoping for the best. We know it's God's will. And then, because God's great, there's other times when none of that makes any difference and God just does amazing, miraculous things anyway. But to be honest, Jesus often talks about this idea of our forgiveness in sin. Actually, our forgiveness in prayer. We need to be forgiven. Our hearts matter. And this isn't to put a burden or weight on any of us. But actually, it's realizing that as part of our role as disciples, our duty as disciples is to ensure our part of the connection's in order. Is to make us aware that actually we need to start dealing with these things. If we're wanting to see our friends come to know Jesus, if we want to see people healed, if we want to hear prophecies, see miracles, we kind of got to work on this stuff. We kind of got to work on our ends of the connection. But the amazing thing of God's grace is that we receive the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that. It's not done in our strength. It's done through the power of the Holy Spirit, which enables us, first challenges us on the things we need to work on, but then enables us to actually work on them and get through them. We really need to spend time thinking about what it means to fix our areas of connection. Take time in prayer to work out, okay, God, what barriers are there? Is there anything I haven't forgiven anyone for? Is there things I need to seek forgiveness for myself? Are there habits which are stopping my prayer life be fruitful? Am I faithful? Do I really believe that when I pray for that person on the street, that homeless man on the street, that he'll be healed? Do I have faith that that'll happen? Or maybe take it a step back. When I pray in the morning that my colleague will come to know Jesus, do I have faith that that'll happen? Thankfully, as we sang, one of the fruits of the Spirit is is faithfulness. Actually, God enables us through the Holy Spirit to have that faith, to be able to pray those bold prayers and see those amazing things happen. But we need to be aware of where God is asking us to fix these things. And as well, we need to make sure we're not giving up after round one, that we are persistent in our prayer, that actually if we feel that it is God's will, that he's asking us to pray these things, and it doesn't have first time, great, let's pray again. Let's keep praying for this stuff, because this is what God longs for us to do, is have this relationship with him, where we're asking, where we're having conversation, where we're having communion with him. And he will answer us because of our persistence. But like I said at the very beginning, prayer is a journey. Our prayer life is a journey. We're all on this journey somewhere. And often when we come to think about prayer, we read and look at things which are incredibly challenging, and we see these amazing men and women of faith who pray for hours on end, 12 times a day, and we're like, how on earth am I going to get there? But thankfully, for as many of those stories, as many men and women who massively struggle, one that I love is a woman called Susan Wesley, who is the mother of John Wesley, the starter of the Methodist Church. Susan Wesley struggled to find time to pray, mainly because she had 19 children. I would struggle to find time to pray if there's 19 children. So she had what she called her prayer apron, and she taught her 19 children that when her prayer apron was over her head, not to interrupt her because she was praying, and she would physically crouch down in the middle of her kitchen, put her apron over her head and pray. Maybe we're like that and we're like, I have no idea how I'm going to find time in my busy life to pray. But I know I need to. And that's the thing, we're all on this journey and we need to work out and ask God, hey God, what's the next step? What are you asking me to do? Do I need to carve out some minutes in my day just to pray, just to be with you, have that communion with you, to have a conversation with you? Maybe it's you wanting to take bold steps and you're like, God, please give me the opportunity to pray for my colleague, to pray for my friend at the school gate, and then have the boldness to be able to do that. One of the things I love, I'm always amazed that people actually say yes when you ask if they want prayer. It amazes me. Like, I'm always so worried about it, and I'm like, they're sharing something, and it's like, oh, this would be a great time to pray for them. And I'm like, so, you know, I'm a Christian, and I think prayer works. Do you want me to pray? And they're, oh, yes, it's amazing. Often we're so scared to take that little step, and so maybe it's about you wanting to take one of those little steps and think, actually, I know God's challenging me on this. I know my prayer life myself is going well, but I want to go more than that. I want to see God do amazing things for me, praying for people. Maybe it's you want to receive the gift of healing, and you want to be able to go out and work out where God is wanting to heal people, and then be able to pray for healing and see amazing things happen. Or maybe it's something else. But we're all on this journey, and part of what we're longing to do at this time is to all grow, to all go further along in this journey of prayer and what it means to pray. And we've got like 3-4 months on this. We're not going to solve everything at all. We're not all going to be experts in prayer by the end. But hopefully we'll all have grown and taken a small step in what it means to pray in our own prayer life. So then we can start to see more amazing things happen, start to see our church grow, start to see our own faith and life grow. And like I said, often those men and women of faith daunt us, and in when we think about prayer, they're amazing prayer warriors. But the thing is, none of them ever said that they ever prayed too much. I've never read of a Christian going, oh, I wish I didn't pray as much. Actually, it's the most transforming thing in our life. It's the most life-giving thing we can do as followers of Jesus is pray. It's the thing that gives us energy to keep going at work, keep going with our friends. It's what gives us life and energy and power, is our prayer life. But often we can be afraid to try and explore it more. I feel especially there's a few people who you hear who, as I've been thinking, you're like, I don't want to do that. Or you're afraid to journey deeper in prayer for whatever reason. And that you're just like, I don't know. And I think possibly there might be a couple of people who actually you're really afraid of what God might reply. And that you're afraid at what he might reply if you start praying more. But I want to tell you that he is the most gracious God of love. And the thing he says to us more than ever is, I love you, in Scripture. That he loves us. And we shouldn't be afraid to come into that deeper relationship with him. We shouldn't be afraid to pray more. It's the most amazing life-giving thing to pray. And so, I think it'd be great. In a moment, we're going to have some more worship songs. I really feel like God's wanting to do some ministry with some people. So in a moment, I'd love to invite you during worship to come to the front. If, for you, you know you really want to commit these coming months to growing in your prayer life. You know that something that's happened today or maybe in the coming weeks, you'd be like, yeah, I really want to commit this. I really want to try. You may know what that might look like. You may not know at all. But you really want to try and grow in your faith with God's help. And I'd love to invite you to just come to the front. It's not something we often do in our morning service. But what's going to happen is people are going to come pray if you lay hands on you, that you receive the Holy Spirit to enable you to do that. And we're going to see what happens. It's not this place is magical or anything, or there's more Holy Spirit here. But to be honest, making the step from our chair to the front of church is a lot easier than carving out that time in our week or praying for that friend we're wanting to pray for. This step's a lot easier. So if you find it really hard to do this step, it's going to be a lot harder doing the steps outside. So I'd really encourage you. It's just going to be a prayer. So I'm just praying for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit so you enable you to do those things. They're not going to ask any deep questions or anything like that. But also, if that word of what I said is actually you're really afraid to go deeper in prayer, you're really afraid to try, I'd love you to come to the front. And we'd love to pray for that as well. And I think it's that word about you're afraid of what God might say, I think there's someone especially in that back left corner, which that is really relevant to you. And I'd love you to come to the front during worship. We'd love to pray for you.